Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Welcome to Optimal Health. This is Abdul Shaheed, your host, and also your certified symptometry health coach. It is our aim and objective every week on AM360 to enlighten health conscious individuals on root cause therapeutics and provide them with guidance on general wellness and cell nourishment. In symptometry, planet Earth is well known as an echo chamber of illusion with booger traps everywhere and a testing ground. Booger traps everywhere and a testing ground. So we ask people to join us and bring somebody with you. We ask you to bring someone with you and join us each and every week to learn about these booger traps that cause health to be denied. Booger trap that causes health to be denied, brothers and sisters. Our health comes from our cells. If we take care of the needs of our cells, if we continue to remove blood impurity, if we continue to remove toxic metal from every part of our body, from our brain, from our heart, from our lungs, from our kidneys, and so forth and so on and on and on. We must remove toxic metal, blood impurity, concretion, sludge, all of these different things from our organs, from our tissues, from my membrane, all of these things. We must remove them. It is our responsibility through the repair work and the maintenance and upkeep that must be done. This is the mistakes that our parent made and our ancestor made, people before us. No one told them that the human being is high maintenance, very high maintenance. So that work that we have to do to maintain our body, to keep it in good repair, to keep ourselves in good repair. We have to always be removing the residue of the food that we do not digest. We have to be the one to remove them. It is our body to take care of it. This is what we have to do. So now we have a school that can teach us about health and where health comes from. Health is a reward, brothers and sisters, that comes from ourselves. If a person takes care of the needs of their cells, and their cell will take care of them, keep them healthy on this toxic place called planet Earth. Planet Earth is very toxic, predatory, and adversary. That's things that we have to do every week, every day, every month. There are things that we have to do to keep our body in good repair and keep it maintained. And in good repair is our responsibility. If we don't do it, who's going to do it for us? Who's going to do it? No one. If we don't do it, no one's going to do it for us. And there's no one coming to save us. There's no one coming to save us, brother and sister. We have to be held accountable, and we have to be the one to be responsible. This body affords us to have life on this planet. It affords us to have life on this planet. And this life is a gift. And it is priceless. It is priceless. No amount of money can pay for it. So welcome to Optimal Health. We certainly appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule today to join us. And we look forward to share some information that can help us to correct our mistakes. Brother and sister, we have diseases because we made mistakes in our food choice, what we chose to eat as food, how we cook the food, what we chose to drink as water and beverages, and different things that we expose ourselves to, man-made chemical, natural chemical. They're polluting, toxic in the air, in the water, in the food. There are microbes in the water, in the air, in the food. And we have to become more conscious of these things. We have to become more aware of them all. This is what we have to do. This is part of the maintenance and the upkeep that we are responsible for. The maintenance and the upkeep that we are responsible for. So this is what this program, Optimal Health, is all about. There's blood impurity circulating in our blood, brothers and sisters, that cause diseases. They will shut down the smooth operation and function of our cells. They will cause the DNA to become fragmented. All of these things will take place. All of these things will take place. Absolutely amazing. Our responsibility to keep our body in good repair. Good repair, brothers and sisters. If we do not, who do we have to blame? Who do we have to blame for the disease that we get? We're going to blame God? When God has placed everything in our body to cure every disease, He has placed everything that we need in us to reverse every condition. To reverse every condition, He placed everything that we need to do it in us. And we have a 3-pound brain to make use of, a 3-pound brain. It is our responsibility to keep it nourished, to keep it vibrant. It's up to us, up to no one else. So, brother and sister, we have an excellent program outlined for us today. We're going to keep learning. We're going to keep sharing information about health and optimal health, how to achieve it, and those things that will prevent us from achieving health, optimal health, the mistakes that we make, those mistakes, the blood impurities that circulate in our blood, the concretion, the debris, because we eat certain food, produce more debris than other food. So we just like to simply say that all food is not the same. We should use science to select the food that we're going to eat. All water is not the same. We should use science to select the water that we're going to drink and the beverages that we're going to drink and the fruits that we're going to eat. We should use science to select them because they're not all the same. They're not all the same. So we have our guest with us today, Mrs. Rita Taylor, and she's going to continue to share information about the heart. She's going to continue to share information about the heart, and that will be a good thing, very good thing. And we need to know all that we can know about our heart. So we're going to open her mic, and then we're going to take a short break after that, after she introduces herself. And we're going to get this show on the way. Mrs. Rita, your mic is open.
Okay.
Well, let's go along.
As-salamu alaykum, brothers and sisters. Well, let's go. I just want to share with you, as my brother Saheed is saying, we need to know more about our heart. You know, without our hearts, we really cannot function. And I want to share with you what you need to know about your heart so that you can do something about it. Again, I heard him talking about the food that we eat and the water that we drink. Those are good because the food that we eat, if we don't eat the right food, it causes a lot of blood impurities, and it also clogs our hearts. You know, why is it that a lot of people do have pacemakers? I mean, how many of you know of somebody with pacemakers? They have pacemakers because they have built on saturated fat, which is really something, a poison for us. You know, the oil that we cook with can kill us. But people, you know, they don't share that with you. What kind of oil do you cook with? What kind of oil? Do you know that olive oil and the olive oil and all the other oil that you use, the vegetable oil, are not, they are all saturated fat? And the coconut oil, the best oil that I've been using since I came to St. Thomas 6-7 years ago is canola oil. Why canola? Because it's a polyunsaturated. And you don't need a whole lot of oil in your diet. It's one of the five food groups. You need oil, but you don't pour it on your food or make it so much that you have oil swimming with your food. Just enough to cook and to cook, and that'll be fine. So one of the things I want to share with you is that people do not know that our heart is made for 200 years. 200 years. And so how many of us will live to be 200 years? So we have an opportunity to strengthen our hearts while we're here. And it starts with the food that we eat and the water that we drink and all the stuff. So I just want to share with you that what it goes into our hearts, goes into our blood, make a whole lot of difference. And we need to make sure that we take good care of our heart because without a heart, a person will die. You will die because it gets to a point when you age and you cannot move because you don't have the energy and all that stuff because you don't have what it takes to maintain your heart. And I want you to know that you can do. And some of the things you can do is to make sure that the food that you're eating, it is the right kind of food. And the vegetables that you're cooking doesn't have the poison that you have. I have every time I come in onto this program, I talk about the vegetables. You know, when you know that we are supposed to eat vegetables, but how do you cook your vegetables? How do you cook it? You know, some of the vegetables that we know we recommend is collard green, mustard green, and turnip greens. They're good. And if you're going to cook them, when you bring them home, you need to wash them well. Wash them well to take out the sand and the soil because it's coming from the soil. So you need to wash it real well. And then after that, you need to, you know, check the greens to make sure it doesn't have holes in it. It hasn't have black marks on it and everything else before you soak it in saline solution, which is salt water, for 8 minutes. Why do we need to do that? Because you know what? That plant was in the wild. They have to protect themselves from people who wants to eat them. So they have toxins. They have poisons. And so when we bring them home, we need to clean that poison before it goes into our stomachs. So after 8 minutes, then you boil it. Do not eat vegetable that is not boiled. Do not eat all the food that you need to be boiled. Why? Because you need to kill the toxins. So you put it on a high heat for 1 hour without the lid. Because why? It has ammonia and phyto that your body doesn't need, your blood doesn't need. So you need to make sure that it's uncovered so that it can evaporate. And then after an hour, you can then you can cover it for the next hour and a half or 2 hours, depending on what kind of greens you're cooking. Again, why are we doing that? We're doing that because we want to neutralize all the toxins and everything else. They came with it. And if you do that, I promise you that you will never have an acid stomach because you're cooking the right way. Okay? Again, meat. We all did a summer here. How are you cooking your meat? Are you putting it on a grill for 10, 30 minutes and then you're ready to eat? Oh, no, no, no. Please, that is not, because meat needs to be cooked well. When you bring your meat in, you take the fat that is on the meat. The fat is called arachidonic acid. You take it out, and then you wash it and clean it up and basically season it and then cook it. Cook that meat for 1 hour, okay? One meat for 1 hour. So after 1 hour, you take that meat, and then you season it again with the right, you know, the season that is recommended by centometry. And then you put in a crock pot for 11 hours. So on the whole, the meat that you should be eating should be 12 hours, not 30 minutes, not an hour. Why? It neutralizes all the toxins and the poisons that are in the meat. And also what happened is that after neutralization, it's also kill. It brings out the amino acids that we need in our bodies, and so that you can enjoy it. So the way you cook your meat, the way you cook your vegetables, if you continue that route, I can assure you that your heart is going to be built with the right kind, because you're not putting a lot of fat in your heart. So you're not going to be in the long run have pacemakers in your heart. Again, the way you cook your meat makes a difference. And there's a reason why it's 12 hours instead of 1 hour or 30 minutes. Yes, the grilling, I do not recommend grilling because you haven't done the job. So I'd like to recommend that you cook your meat well so that you neutralize the poison and neutralize all the poison and the toxins that come with the meat. You know, the meat that we buy, it had the pump it with you know, acid and stuff. They pump it with so many things that we don't know. They don't tell us. So why would you want to eat something that is not good and bring impurities into your blood? And you know what? Our number one disease is the blood impurities that we have accumulated over the years. Because the food that we eat, it makes a difference. You know that ice cream, you know, people eat a lot of ice and ice cream. Do you know that it shrinks your brain? But this summer, I'm sure a lot of us are going to be eating a lot of ice cream. Ice cream is not good for us. You know, our body, the blood in our body needs to move fast. It needs to move 185 miles per second. 185,000 miles per second. So when you introduce ice into your blood, you are slowing down the blood. And your blood shouldn't be slowed down. It should be moving fast. That's called motion. It needs to be moving fast. Why is it a lot of people, when they age, they cannot walk? Because the blood is saturated with impurities. We're eating ice. We're drinking the beer. Everything is ice. This summer, everybody's eating ice or everything cold food and all that stuff. We need to do better because our body do not need that. Our body needs heat. Heat is what our body needs. Our body needs thermal energy because we need thermal energy. We need electrical energy. We need all that energy to help us with our energy so they'll be able to do what we need to do. Again, we cannot. When people, you know, you hear about, oh, somebody died in their sleep. No, you know, and do you know you die in your sleep? You have a congestive heart failure. What have you done to your heart? Have you sanitized your heart? All the food, all the impurities that you have had over the years, whether you're 50 or 60 or 70, do you know that the impurity that you're building, it will catch up with you sooner or later? And what would they do to you? They'll put a pacemaker in there. That pacemaker doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't even clean your blood for you. But they'll put it in, and, you know, it costs so much, and you have to change it, and you know, a couple of years later. So the way we treat our heart will make a difference in our lives. The food that we eat, the drinks and the water that we do, the electrolyte water is what we need to be drinking. And the food that we need to eat, make sure that we cook them. Cook them. You know, people eat lettuce. Why are you eating lettuce? Lettuce is not cooked. But you eating it with all the poison that comes with it? We know that they're poisoned. Why? Because it came from the wild. And you're not going to do anything, you're just going to eat it? Well, it will give you blood impurities. And you start early, you start eating them early, it builds up. It builds up as you age. So we can make a difference. We can control the blood impurities based on what we know now. Based on what we know that we can control what goes into our body. We can control the food that we eat, okay? All the vegetables and the fruits on us that we recommend some. But if you are going to eat other vegetables and fruits, make sure you at least, you know, clean it up with, with salt water, like apples. People like apples. They don't even wash it. As soon as they, you know, they will be biting into them in the grocery store. Do you know what is on the apple? Do you know what's inside the apple? You know, sometimes they have things in the apple that are, you know, really like little caterpillars and stuff that is inside the apple. And then you bite them and you eat them and it goes into your body and causes blood impurities. So all I'm saying is that we are the master of our own ship. We are our own health person. We are our own health advocate. The doctors are not going to tell you that, but you have to say, I want to live. I want to make sure that what goes into my body is food I'm going to be proud of. Even if I'm going to eat them, I'm going to eat them very sparingly, not a whole lot, but enough to satisfy me, but not every day. Not every day. You know, how many of you eat a lot of, the meat, Brother Saheed, what is the meat that we use for hamburgers and stuff? What is the name of the...
Ground beef.
Ground beef.
Do you know what is in the ground beef? Do you know how they prepare the ground beef at the meat shop? Do you know what goes into the ground beef? I will be very scary if I were you, if I'm going to eat it. I will be, because ground beef can cause a lot of stuff because you don't know how they prepare it. The people that work in the factory do not eat them. So if they don't eat them, why should we be eating them? So brothers and sisters, we are masters of our own ship. If we don't do it, nobody is going to do it. Yes, you have to transition, but you know what? It can be done. When I came in, I said, how am I going to eat? All the food that you tell me not to, I love them. But as you prepare, your body do not need a whole lot of food. Your body needs enough food for nutrients and resources, not a whole lot for you to be healthy. So, brothers and sisters, I encourage you, is the food and the water that we drink. That makes a difference. And the herbs that people have, you know what? And also the medicine, what you call the drugs that have a kill in them. It takes away the hydrogen. It doesn't do a whole lot for you. And then we take them, and that really pollutes our blood. So if we don't want our blood to be polluted, it is up to us. What goes into our body makes us who we are. So when they say you are what you eat, believe me. And food is a double-edged sword. Food can help you. It can also kill you. People say, oh, but it's here. Why don't we eat it? Yeah, what kind of food are you eating? What kind of food is going into your stomach? You need to be very careful and making sure that you eat the right food and prepare them well. It's not how to eat it, but how do you prepare the food that you put into your stomach? It makes a whole lot of difference. Preparation is the key. Prepare the food well so you don't get sick. So you don't get, you know, all these kinds of things that, you know, people get with all the kinds of poison that people get, semolina, typhi, that is in ground beef, that people don't even know that when you eat it, it can cause a lot of problem. When you hear that, oh, people have semolina here, it is something that you need to watch out. So with that in mind, I like to see whether anybody have any questions, or Brother Saheed would like to basically add some things to it that I missed so that people can ask questions.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. Then we'll come back and see if anyone has any questions, and we'll share some other information as well. You've done an excellent job, and we certainly appreciate you sharing all the information. And we keep making a big point about us knowing more about our heart. Our heart is very, very important. It is the organ that pushes blood everywhere through all the nooks and crannies so they can be well nourished. The cell can be well nourished. So we're going to take a short break, and I guess Mrs. Rita Pell will be answering any questions that anybody might have, and our listeners might have. And we will also accept any comment that you might have as well. So please do not go anywhere at all. Take a moment to call someone and ask them to join us on Optimal Health, why people have diseases, why people are sick. That's a big time question. So we'll be right back. So please do not go anywhere at all. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. This is Sabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're with Abdul Shaheed and guest, Ms. Rita Taylor, today. And we're sharing information about the heart, knowing a lot more about the heart. If you have a question, press 1 on your phone, and we'll open your mic. If you have a question at all, anything about the heart, or if you have a comment on something else, that'll be fine. If you have a question on something, anything related to health, this is what we're talking about. This program is called Optima Health, How to Cure Every Disease. Every disease is reversible. It's up to the person that has it. So if you have a question, just press 1 on your phone. We'll open your mic, and you can ask your question or share a comment. Anybody with a question at all?
Okay, yes, I'd like to also add, Brother Shaheed, about what they can do to sanitize your blood, okay? Because all the food that we eat, as I said, it causes blood impurities, and that's what causes diseases. You know what? The doctors cannot. They can put a pacemaker in, but that doesn't help you. Scintometry do have the particulates, the hydrolyze and ionize. And then really breaks it down so that your heart can, the blood can flow freely. You know, a lot of people that I know, they die of congestive heart failure. What is that? Have we asked ourselves, why do people die so quickly? Well, you saw somebody yesterday, and then before they're gone, they say, oh, we don't know what happened. Well, because the impurities that have been sitting in their blood, you know, the blood needs to pump to every part of your body. It needs to be clean. It needs to be sanitized. And only scintometry have what it takes to do that. So all of us have work to do. I have work to do to make sure that I sanitize my blood because I've eaten food that I shouldn't have eaten when I was young. And I need to do that. We all do. And so we do have the solution. Scintometry do have the solution to help people to remove the garbage in their blood so that they don't have the congestive heart failure or put a pacemaker in their body. Because pacemakers, they are not cheap. They're very, very expensive. But it doesn't do anything to the heart. It just put it there so that your blood can flow. Why don't you do it the natural way that God created your heart to flow through your veins, to flow through your arteries? Why don't you do it the natural way? And that way you don't have the congestive heart failure that people do. So we do have the solution, and only scintometry have the solution. So if you know somebody with a heart issue or going through and they're going to put stents and pace, you know, they put stents and all that stuff, it means your blood is clogged. Even if they remove it, it will come back because you have to change your diet. You have to change the food that goes into your body.
for you not to repeat that again. How many people have this thing put in their heart, you know, in their heart about two or three times? You ask, why are you having it done so many times? Because they have not changed their eating habits. They're still eating the same thing, you know, cooking the same way, you know, cooking with the wrong oil, and it will continue. So in order for you to really clean it up, you need to basically, to clean it up, you need to hydrolyze. We do have the solution. And Brother Saheed, I wanted to share with them that, yes, we do have solutions for all the things that we're talking about. So thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Excellent information. So we're still looking for anyone that might have a question. That was excellent additional information that Mrs. Taylor shared with us, how to sanitize the blood, how to remove these blood impurities, how to remove sludge and debris. It is because, brothers and sisters, we eat food every day, sometimes three, four, five of us, five times a day some of us are eating. And then we have snacks. And some of the things that we're eating, we shouldn't be eating. And we know we shouldn't be eating them, but we eat them anyway. So certain food produce more debris than other food. So you need to know the one that produce the least amount of debris. And then we have to have the enzyme to thoroughly digest what we're eating and what we're drinking. All these things must take place. If we don't have the enzyme, brothers and sisters, then we're going to leave a lot of residue of the food, and because they will not be digested. They'll be circulating in our blood. If these things happen, then whose responsibility is it to remove the residue, to remove the blood impurity that's in the food? We have additives in the food, dyes, coloring, coal tar derivatives. All these things are in the food. It's not just nutrients. And unfortunately, the nutrient that we need from the food is mixed in and intermingled with the poison and the toxins and the additives and the preservatives and the poison that they put in them. So much stuff in the food, we don't know what it is, all that's in there. And they don't have to put it all on the label. They can call it an additive, then they don't have to mention anything else. All these things are in the food. Then you have toxic metal that's everywhere, in the air, in the water, in the food. You can't escape these things. So that means if you have using common sense, that we have to do something other than just eat the food, because these things would be compromising our health by compromising the cells. So now it would be our responsibility to keep reducing these things or eliminating them or removing them. So Mrs. Rita just shared one of the methods to remove the blood impurities, the concretion. How did a person get stones in their kidneys? It's the food they chose to eat. That's how they got there. That didn't happen. They ate something that has oxalic acid that produces stones in a person. This is how it got there. So we have to know about these things so we can avoid eating these things and have less debris and less concretion and less poison in our body. But once it gets in our body, it gets stuck somewhere. It gets stuck somewhere. If it's circulating in the blood, it's going to get stuck somewhere, because the blood must circulate. So our own cell will do all it can do to have the blood impurity to be absorbed or retained by the various organs, our heart, our kidney, our liver, our spleen, our skin will absorb some of the impurities, our eyes will absorb some of the impurities, and everywhere these impurities go, if we don't remove them, eventually a disease can occur there. This is what happens. So she mentioned ionization. What is ionization? We want to make things clear, brothers and sisters, that we have a method to remove every illness from our body. But if we don't use it and don't believe it, what purpose does it serve for us to come here every week and share this information if you're not going to use it? To reverse the conditions. We already know that allopathic medicine is not working for us. Something has to happen. It's not working. Too many people on this planet are sick and getting sicker. We wouldn't be able to make this argument if people were getting healthier and healthier and healthier, but that's not the case. They're getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And we have had allopathic medicine in charge of sick care for almost 2,000 years. What are we going to keep doing this for? Brother and sister, we're on our own. Nobody's coming to save us. If we don't save ourselves, we're doomed. I'm sorry to say that, but that's the case. So we come here every week to share this information, but if you don't make some effort to use it and to find out more, and you don't apply it or learn to apply or try to apply it or figure out what has to be done in order for you to apply the information, because nothing's going to happen unless we apply the information. This is applied therapeutic science called symptometry, symptometric science, and we're trying to make it as clear as possible so we can use it. So ionization, what is it? It's a process involving heating ions. Ions, that's another word to say atoms. The Almighty created atoms, and atoms created everything else in the universe, including human beings. Yes, we are the product of atomic collision. Atoms colliding in space, producing energy, tangents of energy, all of them. And we are energy, brothers and sisters. That's the unseen part of the human being. We are energy dependent. That's what a human being is, energy dependent, which means we must always be producing the energy that we are using. That sounds simple, and it is. If we don't do that, then we're going to run out of it. Our body operates through force and energy. This is why we must eat food that keep the forces strong in us, not weaken the forces. There are food that will weaken the forces and the energy in you, and we know this. You can eat something, and you feel like lying down, going to bed right then after you eat it. You have no energy. And you know this food that does that to you. You know them. So this is what we're talking about. We're energy. The first thing a sick person says, well, I don't have energy. I can't go with you today. I got to go find me some, get me some rest. I got to lie down, get some energy. That's the first thing a sick person say. I don't feel well. I don't have energy. Why? Because that's what we are. We're energy. And we must always be producing the energy that we are using. If we do not, at some point in time, we're going to run out of it. That's called an energy deficit. And once we run out of energy, because nothing functions in our body without it, once you run out, that will be your expiration date. That's the date of your death. Write it down. Because the heart will not work, the lung won't work, the eyes won't work. Nothing will work without energy. This is why we have to remove these blood impurities. I'm trying to paint this picture for you to make it clear. This is why we must remove the debris in the food that we eat that's left behind. Symptometry has uncovered everything that makes the person unhealthy or make the person ill or sick. We have uncovered it now today when allopathic medicine had 2,000 years to uncover these things. They have not done it. They treat symptoms, brother and sister, and they'll treat you until you die. They'll get to the point and say, well, we've done all we can do. I'm sorry. Here's a number you can call, and it'll be the number to hospice for you to go, and they'll give you something that makes you relax and shut down all your nerves and everything, and you'll be gone real comfortable. You'll be satisfied with that. How can we be satisfied with that? No. We're here to live and improve upon the life. That's why we're here. We're created to live, brother and sister, and don't take any other explanation. We're created to live, not to die.
Yeah.
Surely we're going to die one day. For those people who think negatively, yeah, we're going to die one day. We're biologically existent. But that's not why we were created. What's the point of the Almighty creating us to die? He didn't have to create us in the first place. If that's going to happen, He created us to live. It is us who make this premature death come about because we don't learn what we need to learn to stay healthy on this toxic, predatory, and adversary planet. This is not the garden or paradise. It won't be until we make it into one, until we turn it into one. That's why we're here, to turn the earth into a paradise on earth. And how are we doing so far? We're failing because we don't have our health. A disease anywhere in our body is going to affect our brain. The brain is going to shrink, believe it or not. This is what Ms. Reader already has told us, already shared with us. The brain will shrink if we have a disease because of the poison that will be coming from the disease. circulating in the blood. So I would share with us the definition of ionization so you'll be clear that we have the science today that we didn't have years ago to reverse many conditions. You don't have to have a weak heart. You don't have to allow the doctor to put a stent in your heart because he'll be coming back with another surgery and say, okay, we need another stent because you have blockages there. Blockages, that's another way to say you have debris there, concretion there, a blood clot there, garbage there. You understand those words? Garbage, sludge. We understand sludge. That's debris, dust. And when you mix water with it, it becomes sludge. We understand that. You have muddy, a dirt road, and when the rain comes, it's not dirt anymore. It's mud, sludge. And that would be inside of us, slowing everything down, covering the cell membrane. How the cell would be nourished? They won't be nourished. They'd be malnourished, nutrient deficiency. Therefore, the cell would not have the nutrients and the resources to produce energy. What did we say about energy deficit? That's what you have. Whenever you have energy deficit, you will be sick and ill because it takes energy to give up, to get up and move around, to do things. Otherwise, you're going to go, oh, I got laid out. I don't have no energy. Absolutely correct, because now you're ill. While we're making this connection. So ionization is the process of using iron or metal, such as mercury, iron, nickel, copper, calcium, strong acid, and use them for our benefit. This is what we're able to do. Use them for our benefit, not for hurting us. And they will have a way to dissolve the concretion by breaking the bond on those things. There are covalent bonds that hold those things together. There are chemical bonds that hold things together. There are ionic bonds that hold things together, hydrogen bonds. That's what holds together the ions and nutrients and all these things. When we eat food, they're held together by ions and nutrients. They're held together by bonds. And we have to break those bonds. That's what the enzyme is designed to do, break the bonds so we can get the nutrients and the resources from them. But if we have an enzyme deficit, like most people have energy deficit, we will have a disease. We will be sick. We'll be running low on energy. Those things go together, enzyme deficit, energy deficit. I hope we make
well,
it clear.
Well, let me also add, Brother Saheed, that
yes,
regardless
right
of the disease that you have, it's reversible. It is
yes.
reversible. You don't have to live with the disease. We have the solution to reverse everything you have.
Absolutely.
So symptometry is out
amazing.
There to reverse a lot of the things that my brother was talking about. The debris in your blood, that based on the food that we've been eating over the years, believe me, we have been eating
absolutely.
The wrong food. And that's what caused the debris in our blood. And we can sanitize it by changing our diet and eating the way, cooking the food the right way that will reduce the blockage that people have, the stents. How many people? I know a friend who has put like 3 stents in their heart. 3?
Yes. I know
he
someone who
back.
Has 5 stents in their heart.
Exactly.
5.
What is going on, brother? What kind
it's
of
amazing.
Food are you eating? The doctors are not going to tell you not to because if you don't go there, they don't have a job. So why don't you take
that's
care
right.
of yourself? By eating right, by making sure you cook with the right oil. And, you know, whatever you eat, cook it well. And we do
absolutely.
Have, we have the solution, the particulars to break the bond that you're saying, because all those things, they are all held together. And it needs to be broken for us to be free, for our blood to flow quickly. And without your blood flowing quickly, you will have problems with your heart. You won't be able to breathe. And our heart was made for 200 years.
Amazing.
200 years. So we have a chance.
Amazing.
We have a chance to live longer and live well.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to share, brother.
That's excellent. We have a chance to live, to have healthy longevity. Not just living a long time, but be healthy. It's no fun, and the body's falling apart. You are 100 years old. What? And somebody got to feed you and change your diaper? No, no, no. I don't want to see that day. I'm going to learn what I need to learn and do what I need to do so that doesn't happen to me. What are you going to do? Are your children going to take care of you? Are they going to stick you in a nursing home somewhere out of their sight? So this is what we're saying here. I'm not just making mockery. I am saying that we have to take care of ourselves. We can't depend on the youth, the young people. We have to help them. Many of us still have to help our children. And they're grown. We still have to help them. How are they going to take care of us? We better get wise real quick. So we can begin to take care of ourselves, make better decisions, and remove these blood impurities, the debris, the toxins. We have to remove these things. This is what we have to do, brother and sister. So ionization is one method, one process to remove these, to break the bond on those things. Yes. So if you have a question, please press 1 on your phone. We'll open your mic if you have a question for our guest.
When I was in my
Ms. Rita, we can hear some background. Is that coming from your phone?
Yeah, it's coming from my phone because I'm in a place where for me to get an internet connection. So that's the thing. But I'm almost done. So yeah. Okay. Yes,
okay.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If I have to, if you get real noise, I can just mute your mic until you finish.
Exactly, but I'm going to kind of wrap it up, basically, but I want to make sure somebody have a question before I wrap it up.
That'll
please.
Be good.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to ask again, anybody have a question for our guest? This is Rita. She shared a lot of excellent information for us. If you have a question, she's going to have a depart shortly, then you'll be stuck with me. Then I'm going to have to be tough on you. I'm going to have to be tough because I want us to wake up to get it so we can start improving our situation, get better. So if you have a question, this is the time to do it for our guest, Mrs. Rita Taylor. She shared excellent information with us today about the more information about the heart. We've done 3 weeks all talking about the heart. How to remove the blood impurities, the debris, the garbage, and those things that would be absorbed by our heart in order to keep the blood flowing and circulating. The blood impurities and the toxin and poison would be in our heart, our lung, our liver, our kidney, all these things. All the organs would absorb them, including our skin, our eyes, all these things. This is why we have problems, eye problems, skin problems. Both organs have absorbed too much impurities and garbage and concretion and all these things, poison. And I'm sure it has to be making sense. There's no other explanation.
Okay.
So if you have a question for our guest before she has to depart, press 1 on your phone and we'll open your mic. So all of those things that we name, they have bonds that hold those things together. The poison, the unsavory spices that people are using, halogen from the pharmaceuticals, from herbs, from bug bite, insect bite, mosquito bite, all these things, they have halogen in their bite that will circulate in our blood causing us problems years down the road. We forgot about the mosquito biting us when we were there that holiday. And then 5 years down the road, you get sick because those things are making problems in your blood. No one ever shared that with you. Your doctor won't even tell you. They don't know. So now we know venom and other spider bites, these things, we can remove them from the blood They'll circulate until you die, and all of the 11 system will be affected. So this is not complicated to explain. We're explaining to you why we have diseases, why people are sick. This is it. So once we ionize those things from our blood, this allows the blood to circulate with speed, carrying oxygen, oxygenated blood, the life sustainer, everywhere, to all nooks and crannies. Is all of the nooks and crannies of our body receive oxygenated blood, we will never be sick. Isn't that amazing? We will have a solution.
Buddy.
We will never be sick. We are sick because that some part of our body did not get the resources and the nutrients that's circulating in the blood, oxygenated blood, with energy, with power, with pressure, with speed. This is what the cells use to carry out their job, to keep us healthy. This is what they use. They use the tangents of energy, force. It's what they must use. Our heart represents the pushing force. It pushes the blood to all parts of the body, and it must move at the speed of light in order for the cell to pull the nutrients into them. If the heart becomes weak because of all of the garbage that it has absorbed to keep the blood flowing, then the heart will get weaker and weaker because there would not be enough force to push nutrients in many cells. It won't be there. We've been studying, my colleague and I, for years and years and years at the American School of Symptomatology. This is why we know this information. We're students there, and we're learning every single day. So don't take this information for granted. And why my doctor not telling me? Why I hadn't heard this before? Don't forget about that. You're hearing it now. You can do something about it today. Don't take it lightly. Mrs. Rita said, our heart is good for 200 years. And we think we've done something because we made it to 100? That is just a halfway mark.
And then exactly.
The person's body is falling apart, so that's nothing to brag about. Somebody
exactly.
Got to feed them and carry them everywhere. What kind of life is this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can do much better than that. We can keep our brain nourished by removing these things from the blood.
Exactly.
So if you don't have a question, I guess my guest would sum things up for us and make a closing statement, and then she'd be ready to leave with me.
Exactly. And I'll be gone for the next month.
So
I'll see you guys in August.
I guess you made it all perfectly clear.
Okay.
No hand raised.
Well, let me leave a couple of things. We are what we eat.
Yes.
Food is a double-edged sword. The food we eat can help us, but it can also kill us. Why? Because some food have impurities that slow down your blood. My brother was telling you about oxygenated blood. The impurities that stay in your blood, it takes away the space where nutrients and resources should be. So if you have nothing but blood impurities, your blood is taking the space of the nutrients and resources. That's why you're tired, because it doesn't have what it needs to take care of you. So all I'm saying is that any condition that you have is reversible, regardless of your age. Age doesn't have anything to do with it. Your age because, you know, you're 80 or something. That's great.
Absolutely.
What kind of food have you been eating all along? You know, you need oxygen. You need energy. And energy comes from the food we eat, the right food. And so if you eat the right food and cook it well, then you're not going to have the impurities that you will reduce the impurities. Remember, we have eaten chaotically, eating the wrong food, the ice cream, all the stuff, the ice that shrinks your brain. And people, you know, they forget things. They don't know why. They have Alzheimer's and all this stuff. It's all based on some of the food you've been eating over the years.
Yep.
And so we are saying that if you apply with the things that we are talking about, shift your diet make transition to eating real food that give you the nutrients and resources you need. You will have the energy you need all the time. All the time. Believe me, is there, because we are energy dependent biological existence. We are energy.
That's
so all
right.
I can tell you is that we are made to live, not to die. And it's up to us, not the doctor. The doctor only heals about 15% of the population. What about 85%
of
the population
right.
that don't get healed? They have to do something. They have to change their lifestyle. And if you do, you'll be living a long time. So I would like to leave you that symptometry have answers, lots of answers. You don't need a pacemaker. You don't need a stent, because what goes into your body makes you who you are. So, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. And I'm going to let all of you know that I'll be gone the whole month of July, but I'll be back in August be with you. Thank you so much, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much. Well, like I said, we have certainly appreciate you sharing with us these last couple of months. And excellent, excellent job. Thank you so very much.
I'll be back.
Summer.
I look forward. Okay, assalamu alaikum. Bye-bye.
Well, like I said, thank you. So there our guest, Mrs. Rita Taylor. She had to depart, and she will be gone through the month of July. She'll be doing some traveling. And she'll be back with us, God willing, in August to share even more information with us on this path that we're on to achieve optimal health, to achieve optimal health. This is the path that we're on. Our goal is to achieve optimal health so we can make the best use of our brain, the best use of our mind, so we can become the very best possible human beings on this planet. This is what we must do. This is not just for exercise. This is what must happen in order for us to become the very best possible human being, fulfilling all our obligation and fulfilling all our potential. This is why we're here, to fulfill all our potential, to leave it all on the field, so to speak, to leave it all on this planet, so to speak. Let's not leave until we maximize our fullest potential. We cannot do it if our health is falling apart. If our health is falling apart, it means also our brain is collapsing and falling apart. That's what it means. It's all dirty blood goes everywhere. Person is sick, there's more dirt, more filth, more garbage in the blood. And that's the reason why they are sick. So if you have a question, please press 1 on your phone. Now you have Abdul Shaheed, your certified symptomatic health coach, your host of Optimal Health, all by himself. And we're going to continue to share information, but we're going to take a quick break. So please take a moment to call someone or stand by your phone. We can be right back. But please call someone that could benefit from the information that we're sharing, that can benefit from the information that we're sharing. So please do not go anywhere at all. You're with Abdul Shaheed, your host of Optimal Health. We'll be right back. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, host, your quality assurance team leader, Abdul Shaheed, here to remind us that our quality assurance reports are due the third Sunday of each month. We're about to complete another fantastic month of broadcasting at AM360. In our effort to continue to improve our platform, please complete and submit your personal quality assurance report by going to cwsc.us. Do a search in the search bar for SEO Quality Assurance Review. Please read the instructions, then scroll down to complete the review. Once completed, please click the submit button at the bottom left in red. And may we all have another successful month of broadcasting at AM360. Thank you, Abdul Shaheed, Quality Assurance Team Leader. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back, brother and sister. You with Abdul Shaheed, the certified symptometry health coach, symptometry. Some people might not have heard that word before. Syntometry. It is a cell support and DNA support system. It uses the concept and principle of symptometric science to achieve its objective. And these objectives are taught at the American School of Syntometry. And symptometric science is taught at the American School of Syntometry. We have a school that can teach us now about health. Verifiable science. This is how we know what we know, brother and sister. We are students at that school, the American School of Syntometry. So we were sharing the method to remove blood impurities from our blood and debris, sludge, all these things from our blood and from our organs, from our tissues. One of the methods called ionization that I just mentioned. Again, it's the process involved heating ions of metals such as mercury, iron, nickel, copper, calcium, and acid ion to break the covalent bond, ionic bond, chemical bond on those toxic debris, concretion, poison, all these things, poison compound, toxic compound, venom, all these things, et cetera, that will be stuck in the 11th system. This allows for the circulation of oxygenated blood to resume. If our cell can get oxygenated blood with nutrients and resources, glucose, oxygen, and all the other resources that goes with it, electrical energy, magnetic energy, thermal energy, all these things that goes with that, then the cell will be in a much better position to take care of us, and they will be able to operate and function efficiently. Efficiently. So another method is called hydrolysis. Hydrolysis is another way, another method that we have to remove garbage from the cells, to remove garbage from our blood and all of the organs. Another method. We have four methods to remove these blood impurities. The garbage circulating in our blood, brothers and sisters. So hydrolysis, what is it? The process involves producing ancillary enzymes to continually add water to bonds and blockages until they disintegrate. Continue to add water using special enzymes, producing special enzymes to continuously add water to bonds to break them. And blockages until they become disintegrated, until they are disintegrated, enabling a smooth flow of oxygenated blood again to resume. It is oxygenated blood, free of impurities, that's going to nourish our cells so they be in a position to take better care of us. This is why we have a disease. The cells do not have nutrients. They don't have resources, so they can't function properly. Something's happened. Most of the time, it's what you ate, what you're wearing on your skin, product that you use, hair shampoo, toothpaste, lotion, all these things, soap that you're using, all these things. We have to begin to pay attention, brother and sister. This is why we're sick and dying all over the place. We have to understand what we're using on our skin, what we're taking in terms of pharmaceutical drugs. In terms of herbs, what we're eating, what we're drinking, what we are consuming, what we're being exposed to, and the accident that we have, all of these things will set us up for diseases and illness and sickness. Another method is called oxidation. So what is oxidation? It's a process involving applying heat to oxygen. The word oxidation, that means oxygen. A method to apply heat to oxygen, which then burns away bonds, entanglement, engorgement, and blockages that we will find in the blood vessels, allowing the flow of oxygenated blood to resume again, carrying resources to all of the 75 trillion cells of our body. That means all of the 11 systems. That means all of the organs, the tissue, the Krebs, everything, the membrane, everything, receiving the nutrients and the resources that's needed to keep everything on a paradigm of normalcy, keep everything on a paradigm of normalcy, brothers and sisters. This is what must happen. We have disease because a disease is an abnormality. It's getting away from the norm. And the farther and farther we get away from the norm, the disease will become more and more chronic, where our life is now at stake. This is the progression. This is why we have to do something about it. Now we know what to do, brother and sister. Now we have the science to do it, to explain it, to understand what must happen. It is verifiable science. The final method to remove garbage and these concretion and poison from our blood, we have electrolytic dissociation. What is that? Sounds like a big word. It's not that big. We can break it down, brothers and sisters. It's a process involving heating electrolytes. There are 8 electrolytes, 8 of them. And when we drink water, we should be drinking water with electrolytes. It helps us to produce, help our cells to produce more electrical energy so they will be able to communicate. This is how they communicate, brother and sister. It is the process involved heated electrolyte, which in turn use electrical energy to dissolve the bonds and blockages in order for oxygenated blood to resume circulation. That's it. Those are the 4 methods that symptometry science uses to remove these blood impurities that would be slowing down blood and jamming metal, toxic, strong acid, strong sugar, heavy proteins, all these things that we did not digest because we failed to have the enzymes to thoroughly digest them. And because we eat food every day, something is going to be left behind, brothers and sisters. This is how we do it. So those would be the 4 methods. During that same time, we're enforcing these 4 methods. We have to modify our diet. Now sometimes we have scientific cooking and eating, and we also have to modify our lifestyle. How we live on this planet must be modified. Therefore, we have scientific living on this planet. And we said in our opening that planet Earth has a lot of booger traps. A lot of booger traps, brother and sister. So if you have a question or a comment to make, brother and sister, just press 1 on your phone. This is a good time to do it. Then I can catch my breath. I know I said a lot, and we have a lot more to share, not just today, but the coming months and coming years. We have a lot to share. So people become more and more aware of where our health comes from and what we must do to achieve optimal health. To achieve optimal health. It is symptomatic science that is placing optimal health within our reach. Optimal health is in all of our reach, brother and sister, but we must apply the science. We must apply it. If we don't apply it, health could be denied. Sure, people have lived to pass 100 years old without symptometry. You're absolutely correct. Many people have lived to be 100. Without symptometry. But that's not the majority of us. I guarantee you that. That's not the majority. Not enough of us are living to pass 100. And many of the people who pass 100, they don't have their health. So we're talking about healthy longevity, not just living a long time. And someone has to be responsible for you, making all your decisions, carrying you everywhere you need to go, not under your own power. No, that's not what we're talking about here. That is not optimal health. That is not healthy longevity. To live a long time, past 100, but still have all your faculties intact. This is what we're talking about. And you're able to have your mobility move under your own power. Nothing is collapsing and falling apart because you now have knowledge to nourish every part of the body, to keep it vibrant and replacing what is broken. Replacing what is weakened, strengthening the heart. When the heart becomes weak, you know you have the knowledge to strengthen it. And we will talk about the heart today. A lot of information we've shared about the heart. Our heart is very important. Very important, brother and sister. Don't take it lightly. And don't think that the doctor's going to take care of your heart. He's going to put you on a drug, and that drug going to make your heart weaker and weaker, and then you will end up dying from congested heart failure. They do not have drugs to strengthen the heart. And I'm sharing that with you. If you don't believe it, all you got to do is investigate. All you have to do is investigate. Just Google how many people die of congestive heart failure in the United States every year. Just Google it. Allopathic medicine have been in charge of eye health or sick care management in the world for almost 2,000 years. It's time for us to look for help somewhere else, brothers and sisters. Sure, they're able to mitigate some symptoms. Yes, they are, and they have a purpose. Nobody's down in that. The best thing that they do is do diagnosis and run tests. They're excellent at doing that. And doing emergency work and trauma. People are always going to be getting shot, have an accident, automobile accident, all these things going to continue to happen. They're excellent at that. But when it comes to putting things back to normalcy and healing the body, we have another option now. We have another option. So what they're doing, they're doing the work about 15% of the population. People are not dying from accident every day. We don't have emergency every day. We don't have trauma every day. But we do need our health improved. People are sick. And they're sick and dying because of the mistakes that they're making, the food choices, what they choose to drink as water, what they're eating as substance and food, beverages and fruits and all these things. They're making big-time mistakes. We eat nuts and seed. We consume milk after we've been weaned from our mother. We're still consuming milk. We don't need milk. We're consuming saturated fat. Too many people are eating pork. That's saturated fat. Too many people eating fried chicken with the skin on. Saturated fat. This is a big-time problem for our community, brothers and sisters. We can't just keep sticking our head in the sand and pretend like being obese is okay. The other people, they're making it okay. They're making everything okay. They're making what's abnormal, normal now. A new normal. And when we know it's not normal. And I'm not going to be the one that's going to swallow that. I'm sorry. If it's not normal, it is not normal. And you're not going to convince me that these things are normal. No. A disease is an abnormality. It's not normal. Not supposed to have one. So if you have a question or a comment to make, please feel free to press 1 on your phone. We'll open your mic, and that will give me a chance to breathe a little bit. Because I want us to understand the method that can be used to remove the sickness from our body. But we have to make up our mind to do it. Nobody's going to decide for us. No one can convince you. You cannot convince a human being to do something they're not willing to do. And that's not why we're here. I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything. We're making recommendations. Recommend for you to modify your diet and lifestyle and learn a few things to achieve optimal health, to reverse every disease. You have the ability to do it. But you have to decide to do it. You have to decide to make your intention and learn some things and modify your diet and lifestyle. You can't be healthy drinking alcohol. You can't be healthy smoking marijuana. You can't be. Marijuana has toxic metal, have 12 alkaloids, 12 of them. I don't care what the Caucasian people tell you. It's okay. It's natural. It's this. It's that. And we buy into all those things. Your brain will be compromised if you smoke it. There are 12 alkaloids in marijuana smoking. And there are 3 alkaloids in the cannabis oil. Alkaloids are things that plants produce to protect their DNA. They are heat resistant, meaning you cannot cook the thing and neutralize it. You cannot do it. Alkaloid will make you unhealthy and will circulate in your blood until you ionize it. hydrolyze it, oxidize it out of it. That means you will have to come to Scientology because this is the only place that does those things. You don't come to Scientology, that will circulate in your blood until you die. That means it will be in your brain, the toxic metal. The marijuana smoke has toxic metal. Metal are everywhere, M-E-T-A-L-S. They are everywhere. They denature enzyme. You're smoking it. You're breathing it. We're doing it to ourselves, brothers and sisters. That's why so many of us are mentally ill. Even though mental illness is curable, reversible. But long as the other folks not telling you that, you're not listening. Well, you miss out on the blessing, or the people that you know that's in that situation, missing out on that blessing, because we have the knowledge now. There's nothing that we're bragging about. We're just telling you the facts. And one day that will be written down in history that they were telling the truth. I didn't listen to them. So if you have a question, it's a good time to press one on your phone to ask a question. Anything that deal with health, anything about the heart, or reversing any disease, it's a good time to do it. A good time to do it. So let us check our board. Oh, I see a hand raised. 31347. 613, your mic is open. 347-613, your mic is open. You have a question? Your mic is now open. I hear a lot of background. You have a question? A comment? Well, we have to mute your line because it seems like you're not paying attention. Press one on the phone again if you have a question. Once you get back to the phone, and we'll open your mic. We'll try it again shortly. So if you have a question or comment to make, please press one on your phone, and we'll open your mic, brother and sister. That's what we'll do. We'll open your mic. We'll try that again. Well, this is going to be decided on conviction. 347-613, your mic is open if you have a question or comment to make. Otherwise, I'm going to have to mute your mic again because of the background noise. Maybe they pressed one by mistake, so we just closed their mic. Just too much background noise. So, brothers and sisters, if you have a question or comment to make, just press one on your phone. Otherwise, we're going to continue to share some additional information about the heart. If the amount of strength that the heart uses to pump blood is not enough, brother and sister, the heart will get weaker and weaker. I'm going to make that point again. If the amount of strength that the heart uses to pump blood is not enough, the heart will become weak and vulnerable. And the ventricles and the atria will become enlarged. You heard people have enlarged heart. Is it because they had a weak heart? As the heart become enlarged, fewer nutrients will be pushed into the cells of the kidney. They're going to make them weak. The liver is going to make it weak. The pancreas is going to make it weak. And the brain. It going to become compromised. This is what happened. This is what we mean that the body is interconnected, integrated, interrelated, and interdependent. That's what we mean by that when we say it. And it operates as one biological unit. That's how it operates, as one unit, working together. Brothers and sisters, all 75 trillion cells and all of the 200 different cell type and the 11 system that operate in our body. They operate together. The liver depend on the kidney. The brain depend on the pancreas, depend on the liver, depend on the kidney. All those things. It depends on the colon, large intestine, small intestine. Our brain depend on all of them. Our liver will make will produce resources for our brain. We can even produce acetylcholine without the liver. It's all connected. We have to be taking care of everything. Our heart represents the pushing force. We said it already. It represents the pushing force. It must be strong. We have hypertension or hypotension, low blood pressure. That means our heart is not operating at full strength. Optimally, it's not doing it. We must have normal blood pressure in order for the cells of our body to be nourished properly. That's what must happen. So hypertension, high blood pressure, low blood pressure is an indication of a weakened heart. Sometimes you know how to strengthen the heart. Pharmaceutical drug will never strengthen the heart. We have seen this picture too many times. We have seen this picture too many times. And we already explained what's in the pharmaceuticals that will continue to compromise the blood and the organs and the tissue. We've already explained that. Pressure, the power from the heart that pushes the atom or nutrient, the ions or nutrients into the cells. Therefore, when blood pressure is too high or too low, certain organs will not have the nutrients that they need. When this happens, the organs that are affected will not be able to function optimally. The kidneys and the liver are often affected when blood pressures remain too high or too low for several years. You heard of kidney dialysis? Person on a weak heart and do anything about it. And those organs are interconnected, interrelated, integrated, interdependent. They depend on each other. And that's what happens. You don't want to find yourself on dialysis. Brother and sister, it will take all of your energy when you go on dialysis those days. You will have no energy to do anything, to do nothing. You don't want to go on that. You don't want to do that therapeutics. It is very, very expensive. That's why they have it. It will never strengthen your kidney. You will still be on the transplant list waiting for a kidney transplant. When you can come to symptometry and prevent having to go on dialysis or having a kidney transplant by taking care of the one that you have. Learn what you have to do to take care of your kidneys. Modify your diet and lifestyle and learn how to live on this planet. And we could teach you that at the Medical School of Symptometry, or you can hire one of our health coaches to teach you how to do it. What we're able to do. So we have stress and strain on our heart. These are all shoot of negative energy. All shoot of negative energy. No one could be healthy with negative energy running rampant in their body, their system. We must reduce and minimize negative energy, stress, strain, friction, tension, resistant, all these things. They release the force that will deform the endothelium cells, the inner lining of your blood vessels. They release the force to deform them. Negative energy is what negative energy does. This is why a person's blood pressure goes up when they have negative energy. Get bad news. Or they're under stress. Or somebody shared bad news to them. Right away, the blood pressure changes. Because negative energy affects our body. It will affect the endothelium cells that operate in the inner lining of the blood vessels. It is the endothelium cells that produce and release nitric oxide, the compound that circulates blood. This is why we say physics is at play. The laws of physics are at play in our body. And this is what symptomatists have done. We have applied the laws of physics to the interworking of the human body to explain what's happening at the cellular level. This is what symptomology has done. The most natural and scientific means to address the needs of human cell, which is the support system for our cells and for our DNA. And it uses the concept and principle of symptomatic science to achieve its objective through the teaching of the American School of Symptometry. So, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you once again, we have about 30 minutes left into our program. It's a good time for questions or comments. If you have a question, just press 1 on your phone, and we'll be glad to open your mic. You'll be able to ask your question or make your comment. If you have a question. So if the endothelium cells are deformed, new cells must be produced to replace the deformed one. If cell division and cell replacement are not taking place because there's very little energy left in the endothelium, there won't be enough energy left for cell division to take place and to produce nitric oxide that circulates blood. Lack of nitric oxide will be the cause of circulatory problems. I hope you're getting the picture. Especially stasis. What is stasis? Negative energy. Negative energy, stagnation. Things are not moving like they should. In stasis, there is inertia, lack of movement. Then you'll be in violation of the first law of motion. Things will stop moving. If you're in violation of that law, then disease will occur. All you got to do is just wait on it. This is what happens. We'll be in violation of the laws of physics. We'll be in violation. And when we are in violation, there's a price we pay with symptoms and diseases. That's the penalty. Believe it or not, brother and sister, that is the penalty. In stasis, that is inertia, and inertia generates negative energy. And therefore, a person experiencing stasis will be sick. Will be sick. A person who uses palm oil, Mrs. Rita already explained it, palm oil, oil from coconut oil, vegetable oil, all these other oils other than canola oil, they will cause stasis in a person. Lack of motion. The blood will be stagnated. People use butter and margarine and lard. They have saturated fats that causes stasis in a person. Any lipid that harden at room temperature or when the temperature is reduced will cause stasis in a person. Lack of movement, lack of motion, or stagnation. Blood will continue to circulate to the organ and to the tissue so long as there is no friction or resistance in the form of stasis, concretion, blood clot, debris, toxin, poison, strain, stress, and sludge. With those things, you have circulatory problems. You want to know why you can't feel your toes? Because of those problems I just mentioned. Why you have poor circulation? Same thing. Your hand is sleeping, your arm go to sleep when you lay on it, same reason. And we take these things for granted. What circulates blood? Force. There's force in nitric oxide, the compound that circulates blood. Force is in it. Our body operates through force and energy. Force and energy, brothers and sisters. It is force. That is what's happening. Force and energy. We must maintain and keep the forces and the energy in our body strong. We're eating food that reducing the forces or weakening the forces or depleting the forces in us. we will have a circulatory problem. And people, too many people are eating these foods. And they're not cooking the food properly. We're not cooking our meats properly. All these things are taught at the American School of Symptometry. Scientific cooking, scientific eating, and scientific living on this planet. This is what we must enforce. This is what we must engage, brother and sister. So all these debris, the concrete and the sludge and all these things, the blood impurity, we are responsible for removing these things. Nobody's going to do it for us, so we must learn about these things. This is why we have this program. But we just can't keep talking. We have to apply these things if we want something to happen differently. We want to improve our health. If we want to reverse our conditions, this is what happened. This is what must happen. A person who does not remove the concretion, what we've been talking about, debris, sludge, and blood clots from their circulatory system, from the lymphatic system periodically, and do not take the vitamin to activate nitric oxide for circulation, could end up suffering from the consequences of ischemia. Bloodlessness, that's what ischemia means. No blood going into certain parts of the body. Bloodlessness. Myocardial infraction. Numbness. Tingling. Crawling. Lung paralysis. Cardiac arrest. And even more. We're explaining to you how it happens. Your doctor will not go into those details and break it down so you can understand what's going on in your own body. They won't do it. They're not trained to do it. Your body is your responsibility. It is for you to know how to take care of it. The Almighty has gifted us with everything we need inside of us to reverse every condition and to improve our brain and to nourish our brain properly. So we can use it for thinking, not just keeping us on life support, but use it for what has been created for us to do. Contemplate, consider, imagine the possibilities, creating new things, using our imagination and creativity. You can't do it with diseases rampant in your body, ravaging your body. You can't do it. Because of what I just said, the human body is interconnected, integrated, interdependent, interrelated, and it operates as one unit. A disease anywhere in our body would be a distraction for our brain to operate properly. This is why we have many mentally ill people running around all over the place because of chaotic eating, chaotic drinking, and all kind of other things that people engage in, lifestyle, chaotic lifestyles. And we've gotten so far away from normalcy that now we're all put in danger. Can't go to the store to buy groceries and can't gas up your car without some encounter, interaction, negative interaction. But it's not going to get better until we make it better, brother and sister. And it starts with our health, each and every one of us. That's where it starts. So if you have a question or comment, press one on your phone. We open your mic. Our time is fast approaching. We would like to have a few questions, at least, before we get off the air this evening. You allow me to do all of the talking? Not good. Not a good sign if I have to do all of the talking. Someone on the phone, I'm sure, or on the internet, has some comment they would like to make or have some question they would like to have the answer to. Please feel free to do either. Brother and sister, there's a lot for us to learn, and we can learn it. The Almighty is most merciful, and He allows some from among us to be exposed to this knowledge and information. And we're obligated to share it. And that should obligate you to make use of it. To make use of it. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to take a short break. And hopefully we can come back and some people will have questions for us. So please do not go anywhere at all. We'll be right back. You're with Abdul Shaheed, your host of Optimal Health, also your certified Scientometry Health Coach. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, invites you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. for CARE on Air. That's the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Our American Muslim 360 host is Edward Ahmed Mitchell, attorney and deputy director. Edward Ahmed Mitchell is an attorney and former journalist who serves as the deputy director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization in the United States. Join us every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al-Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sebastian Maniscalco, and my grandfather passed away from Alzheimer's disease in 2005. The Alzheimer's Foundation of America is a national nonprofit agency that's here to help. If you or someone you love has questions about the disease, need someone to talk to, pick up the phone. Call Alzheimer's Foundation of America. Don't be embarrassed. They're here to help you. Call 866-232-8484. Don't forget.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You with Abdul Shaheed, your host of Optimal Health, and also your certified Scientometry Health Coach. We have the hand raised at 111-111. Your mic is now opening. The mic is open. Sister Amira, assalamu alaikum. Don't hear you, Sister Amira. You had your hand raised. Maybe you pressed one by mistake. We have another hand raised. 718-344. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hajalala. Fort Valley, Georgia.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah.
How you doing?
Good. I'm okay. How about yourself?
Excellent. What's your question?
Yes, yes, yes. The doctor said that I had bone density and that I need to drink more milk. And
if you need to drink more milk?
Yes.
Wow. Because you had bone density problem?
Yes.
For you to strengthen your bones, you said that you should drink milk.
Mm-hmm.
Milk is
something in the dairy. In the dairy department? So I don't do yogurt.
No. Here's why.
Okay.
Milk is a phosphorus protein, high in phosphorus. And once a person has been weaned off milk from their mother, they should never drink milk again. It will compromise your mucous membrane. It will destroy the bones rather than enhance the bone. Rather than producing bone density, you'll be disintegrating your bones. This is what happens. And you cannot consume dairy, eggs, butter, margarine, cheese. Cannot do it. If you do, your bones will be falling apart. There is calcium in all foods, not just milk and dairy. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If there's calcium in all food, why he did not suggest other foods other than milk? Because he's not a nutrition, and he never studied symptometry. It is the process of called granulation, and this is how cell pull protein granule together to stitch them together to replace our bones. In order for that to happen, the blood impurities in our blood, the garbage that's in our blood, must be removed. This is why your bone is falling apart. This is why every part of our body will be disintegrating because of blood impurities, because of concretion turning into sludge covering the membrane of the cells. And I'm telling you things that your doctor do not have a clue. If you follow that recommendation, you were going to have mucous membrane problems, and your bone will continue to deteriorate. And you go to the health food store and buy calcium and thinking that's going to build your bone, because people have their cabinet in their kitchen filled with calcium supplement, and they still their bone is still falling apart. They still have severe arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, and they use a cane to walk. You have to modify your diet, come to symptometry, and get the particulates to ionize the blood impurities that circulate everywhere in your body. And granulation is not taking place because you're not circulating oxygenated blood. Every disease has the same contour. It is garbage and debris and sludge blocking cell nourishment. It is the cells that take care of our body, our health. It is the cell that replaces our bone, our ligament, our tendon, our tissue. It is called granulation. When the cell takes protein granule, the ribosomal RNA, gather all of the resources, if you have them, you must have the resources available. Those would be the nutrients, the electrical energy. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you ever eat ice?
No.
Do you put ice in beverage and drink? Like in the soda?
No.
You eat ice cream? You never eat ice cream?
I have.
What I'm saying, you have done these things. I mean, you've been listening to us for a while, so you might not be doing them now, but you have done them. But you didn't remove the garbage that went up from those things.
Hmm.
If you just change your diet, if your doctor said, drink milk, that's not going to solve the problem because of the blood impurities now in the body circulating in your blood. They're not going away unless you ionize them out. And that's where you come to symptometry and get the particulate that you need for ionization to take place to remove all the blood impurities, to continue to reduce them. So the blood will have nutrients. Do you eat nuts now, or you stop eating them?
No, I stopped eating.
Good. Good. Mm-hmm. See, but the time you did eat them, now you had to remove all that garbage that was in your body. Did you ever cook with olive oil?
I did. change that to.
And see, that's what all these things mm-hmm. have to be removed. Have you used particular from Syntomagy before?
No.
And see, this is the problem. You will never reverse mm-hmm. those conditions unless you ionize the blood impurities and remove the garbage, the concretion, and the sludge.
Mm-hmm.
This is why people are sick.
Okay.
So you can mm-hmm. give me a call after our program, and I'll share with you what has to happen. And to rebuild bone density, to strengthen your bones.
Okay.
These are things that we have to learn to do if we want to continue to walk. Otherwise, we become paralyzed.
Mm.
Our bone would be so brittle and so compromised that we won't be able to support our weight.
Mm.
And drinking milk will put us in that position because phosphorus protein will disintegrate three of the amino acids in our DNA. And if that happens, the cell would not get the instruction to replace the bones, to strengthen them. It is the cells that would do everything to reverse your condition, but they must be able to receive nutrients and resources. And they must have the blueprint, the instruction, to be able to put all those things together. If you drink milk, then the DNA will be compromised and the gene will never release the blueprint. I'm sharing with you the signs that it takes to replace every part of the body. And that's what we should be doing, replacing and strengthening everything, including our heart and every organ, our bone, our tissue, our ligament. Our body is not supposed to fall apart. It falls apart because we don't know what we need to do. So we're going to give our contact information shortly before we leave, and then you give me a call, and then we'll put you on the track to strengthen your bone scientifically and naturally.
Okay?
Sound like a deal?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us know, and you'll be able to give us a call, and we'll take it from there.
Right.
Thank you. You have any other questions?
Well, I did have a question. There's I guess he's in his 60s or 70s, but he drinks. Some days he's nice.
You think he will ever stop drinking? You think he will ever stop drinking?
I don't know, because some days he's nice, and then some days he's really off the chart. He just say all kinds of things out of his mouth, but then some days he's okay.
When he's drinking, he's mentally ill because drinking alcohol denatures enzymes, and the body cannot work without enzymes. Won't function properly. The brain, nothing will function properly without enzymes. So if he decides, you can talk to him. You can give him my number. I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna share it after talking with him. If he can stop drinking, or if he needs help, we can help him to stop drinking. But he has to have the desire or have his mind made up to stop.
Yeah.
Everything starts in our mind. Must have the mindset to stop. If you can't make up his mind to do it, there's nothing no one can do. The best doctor in the world will not be able to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay? But there is help for him, but he has to make up his mind to receive it.
Okay. I'll let him know that. Yes.
Yeah, there is help. Let him know. He has a person that's willing to work with him, give him the help that he needs. And but he has to make up his mind. There's help for him to stop drinking. That is the first thing he needs to stop doing, drinking. Because alcohol denatures enzymes. And without enzymes, the body falls apart.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, thank you. Press 1 on your phone, and we're going to go to 111. Your mic is open, Sister Amina. Assalamu alaikum. Then she pressed 1 by mistake. Yes, she probably pressed 1 by mistake. So, brothers and sisters, our time is just about up. We have another show that come on right after our program. This program that's coming right up behind us is Maya Ala Kuli Ha, comes on at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with Imam Abdul Aziz of Masjid Adam, the Center of Human Excellence in Bronx, New York. He says that we are together under all circumstances. So he has an excellent program for us to continue to listen on AM 360 immediately after we close out. So brothers and sisters, we're going to give our contact information. So if anyone have a need to contact us, please feel free to do so. But before we get back, we'd like to share the website for the American School of Scintometry, not for profit. It is amfos.org, amfos.org. That is the website for the American School of Scintometry. Please go there. You'll see many different articles posted there. And these articles will help us to determine the mistakes that was made and what needs to be done to address our condition and help us to reverse them. So please go there. If you have a need to contact your health coach, please feel free to call us at 678-572-7269. That number again is 678-572-7269. You may also send us an email at ashaheed2@gmail.com. ashaheed2@gmail.com. Brothers and sisters, we also have a program called The Signs of Health in You that we're the co-hosts on every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And you may join us by dialing in to 714-816-4673. There's no passcodes needed. Also, every Saturday and Sunday, we have a program called Morning Tylene, where we continue to share information about health and optimal health and what must be done to reverse our condition. That program is from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And you can join us by using this number, 267-876-3648. The number again is 267-876-3648. And the passcode is 289-2322-POUND. 289-2322-POUND is the passcode. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Brothers and sisters, at the American School of Scintometry, for the month of July, they have a course. At the American School of Scintometry, this coming summer, for the month of July, there's a program or class that's being offered at rock bottom prices. They're discounting the class, brother and sister, that you can join in starting the first Saturday in the month of July. This class will deal with, it's a specialty course in root cause therapeutic. It will be dealing with correlation diagnostics, and also one other course, cytometry cardiocentric concept. And this class being offered at rock bottom price. The regular price is $350 for all four classes, but it's discounted more than one half, so $150. And you can also get coach's discount from your health coach of additional $25, so the class would be $125. You cannot beat that for this course at the American School of Scintometry that will be offered during the month of July. But you must register before July 1st. For those rates, you must register before July 1st for those rates. And the class will be offered on Saturday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. So that Eastern Time will be 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And that's July 8th, July 15th, July 22nd, and July the 29th, 1 hour on Zoom. Those classes will be available. It's absolutely amazing at that price. for $125 for the entire month of July at the American School of Cytometry. For those people who want to learn more about cytometry, you cannot beat it. It's excellent. So, brothers and sisters, we have to go so our next program can come up. We have certainly appreciate you joining us today. We greet you with the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum and peace be unto you. Thank you.
Piss me up, man. Wow.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Khalida Akbar, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. Thank you for supporting the CWSC Annual End of Year Telethon to help us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. We are believer supported. Take a moment now and help us reach our $10,000 goal by making your tax-deductible contribution at CWSC.us. Click on the blue donate button located at the top right of our homepage to make a convenient, safe, and secure contribution online in whatever amount is comfortable for you. It's not the size of the contribution, but it is each of us doing our part to the best of our ability. You can make a one-time or recurring contribution, which enables us to better forecast our operating revenue, and know we have your support each month to maintain and expand our operations. If you have any difficulty at all making your gift, please call us at 910-317-0297. A representative will be happy to assist. You can also go to paypal.com to make a payment by credit card to CWSC. Our most popular reoccurring gift level is just $9.99 a month or 33 cents a day. It's a small individual amount based on all of us doing our part to ensure our intelligentsia is strong and ready to remake the world. A recurring contribution means the monthly amount is automatically deducted from your designated account to CWSC. You can cancel it anytime. Of course, while your contributions are tax deductible, it is the multiplied blessings of charity, especially during this month, that give the greatest rewards for our generosity. You can also call in your gift by phone at 910-317-0297. Include your name, telephone, and email, and a representative will assist you with making your contribution. You can also mail it in if you make your check out to CWSC. You can mail it to CWSC Marina, M-A-R-I-N-A, Village, V-I-L-L-A-G-E, 4905 34th Street, South, number sign, 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Together, we can remake this world into a better place for all people.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين. وصلاة الله وسلامه ورحمته وبركاته على صفوة الخلق سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه أجمعين. ورحمة الله ومغفرته على تابعين وتابعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. والسلام على إمام ورث الدين والسلام علينا وعلى عباده الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وتنظروا نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. We seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan the accursed, and we begin with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We praise him. We seek his aid, and we humbly ask that the prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings of Allah be established upon his noble messenger, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask that the same prayers, the same peace, the same mercy and blessings be established upon all of his family members who followed him in purification. And we humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish the very same prayers, the very same peace, the very same mercy and blessings upon all of his illustrious companions together. We ask the forgiveness of Allah and mercy upon the followers and their followers in excellence to the day of judgment. We humbly ask Allah to establish his peace as well as his mercy upon Imam Dr. Warfuddin Muhammad, as we ask Allah to establish peace amongst ourselves and the righteous servants of Allah, no matter where we may be, no matter where we may be from, and to all of that we say Ameen. I openly bear witness that there is absolutely none worthy of worship or praise except Allah, who is unique without any associate whatsoever, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Allah calls our attention in the Quran and he says, O ye who have obtained true faith, be mindful of Allah and fear him with a rational fear, and let every person consider what they put out for tomorrow. And be mindful of Allah, fearing him rationally, for surely he is aware of all that you do. Dear brothers and sisters, we want to welcome you to tonight's edition of Ma'iyya al-Kulihan. I am your host, Imam Abdul Aziz. And we're broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM360. And we want to first and foremost extend the greetings to you of peace, the greetings of the angels, the greetings therein of paradise, of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And as always, dear brothers and sisters, we want to begin by asking you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of the twin servant, Imam Thomas Abdul Salam, and on behalf of Imam Khalifa Ramadan and their families. We also ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Imam Farooq Abdul Wali and his family, Imam Rafiq Rasul and his family. We also ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Imam Muhammad Ansari and his family, Imam Abdul Majid Kareem Hassan and his family, Imam Vernon Farid and his family, Imam Ibrahim Pasha and his family, Imam Ajid Muhammad and his family, Imam Abdul Baqi Abdul Hamid and his family. We also ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Imam Qasim Ahmed and his family, Imam Ali Rashid and his family, Imam Muhammad Sadiq and his family. We also ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Al-Hajj Faji Tyson, Al-Hajj Dalila Shaheed, Al-Hajj Lawrence Shaheed, and on behalf of Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz and their families. We also ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Sister Aisha, the wife of our dear brother, Imam Abdul Kareem Abdul Hamid. And we also ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to be generous in your supplication on Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, Imam Qasim Ahmed, and all of those who we may not have mentioned, dear brothers and sisters. We ask Allah to we ask you to be generous in your supplication on their behalf. And so we look at some of our communities, and we notice that we have somewhat of a crisis, dear brothers and sisters. And one of the crises that we have, if you will, is this shortage of knowledge in its application. And what do I mean by that, dear brothers and sisters? Well, we can go on being Muslims all day long, and then when we're facing a crisis, we go about the crisis or we go about the incident in an un-Muslim way. And sometimes that, and I would never say that a person knows better. I would always try to give them, put the best construction on it and say, well, maybe the person doesn't know that this is what Islam is saying, although they may proclaim Quran and Sunnah as their means of approach. Shaitan sits in, dear brothers and sisters, in our affairs, personally and amongst ourselves, and when we're in public with each other, when we're operating in the masajid, or when we're just operating just passing by on the streets and the roads and highways in our travels. Shaitan makes his appearance, and he makes an attempt to get you off of that sirat that's most valued, the most valued path, if you will. And so it's always good for us to rehearse some of those signs that Allah gives us in the Quran so that we can better come up with a perspective. We can better come up with a perspective. And so with that, dear brothers and sisters, we're going to talk a little bit about what we're doing during Eid in the day of Arafah, inshallah, tonight. Some reason or another, this computer is not.
With Allah's name, most merciful, benefactor, most merciful, redeemer, we are grateful to announce that during the month of Ramadan, here on American Muslim 360, yours truly, Kareem Hamid and Michael Hameen, shall share the Ramadan sessions of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad, Sunday evenings from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360 Radio. We look forward to your presence pre-Ramadan Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum.
And so we look at the crazy surroundings in the last few months. And I say that, the crazy surroundings, because as Muslims, we can never really be committed to the things that are happening in society when there are glaring references to things that Allah tells us not to be involved with. And so we say it's crazy in our surroundings, right? We're trying to maintain our Islam. We're trying to maintain our faith. And one of the greatest commodities that Allah gives us is knowledge of his deen, okay? But in order for us to gravitate to that, we have to have a willingness to want to and be open to substitute our own opinions for the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then look at some of the useful tips that he gives us in the Quran, some of the remedies that are found in the Sunnah of his Prophet. May peace and blessing be upon him. And these are things that can be achieved with considerable ease when we bear down on the idea that we're Muslim, we don't do things that way. And so we look at this idea being presented, and we have tomorrow, the day of Arafah. And Arafah, as you know, from Arafah, right? Arafah. And Arafah means to recognize. He recognized. The Arabic term, the triliteral verb, Ain Ra Fa, right? Arafah. And Arafah, he recognized. And there are many different derivatives from Arafah. Ma'ruf is one of those derivatives. Ma'aruf. Ma'aruf in and of itself is the act of doing good. You see? Ma'aruf. And ma'aruf in as according to Imam Muhammad is the good that everyone recognizes. The good that everyone recognizes. The good that puts a smile on everybody's face. No matter what language you speak, no matter where you come from, no matter who you be with, what your occupation is or your educational status, ma'aruf is the thing that breaks through. Allah says, lita arafu, when he talks about the reason why he made us different. Lita arafu. But lita arafu is to recognize the good in one another. Despite me being from somewhere totally different from where you're from, I recognize the good in you. Despite you speaking a language other than the one that I'm familiar with, I recognize the good in you. I remember one time I was down Midtown Manhattan, and I was on my way to some event, and it was in the daytime, and I had to get there. I think it was an empathy event. And so while finding my way there, I noticed a woman who was in front of me, but she was maybe 15, 20 feet in front of me. And she was a Chinese lady. And from her person fell her wallet, and she continued walking. And nobody noticed this big wallet that fell out of her person. And so by the time I got to the wallet and picked it up, she had already been 15 paces ahead of me. And I paced myself. I didn't want to run behind her, but I followed her until I caught up with her, and then I appeared in front of her with the wallet in hand, handing it to her. And it was obvious she couldn't even speak English. But she recognized, she was surprised that I was giving her wallet back. And she was a tourist, but she had, you know, all of her valuables was in this wallet, you can tell. And so, but she couldn't speak English at all. But there was a huge smile on her face. She saw me, I'm there with a kufi on my head, African-American brother. And she recognized the good. That's what Lita Arafu is about. That you do the right thing. Okay, we recognize you're doing the right thing because the right thing is the thing to do. And so, but how can we achieve that if we are not, if our knowledge base is tantamount to what we were before we became Muslims? If we're still walking around with that same knowledge base, right? In the treatment world, they call it living clean but thinking dirty. In other words, you look to bar, but in your mind, you have some other stuff going on. And so to prevent that, Shaitan works on that. That's how he works on that. It gives us the idea that all I got to do is look good as a Muslim, and that's all I got. That's my contribution to Islam. And although looking good is something that's fine and all, however, there should be an inner intelligence working. There should be an inner iman that's working, an inner faith application that's working. And so when we decide matters, we're deciding matters in relationship to what the religion says. Allah says, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. So we look at this idea. Allah says, do not put yourselves forward before in the presence of Allah and His messenger. And be mindful of Allah, for sure is He aware of all that you do. So you look at this idea being presented, and we see the Quran admonishing the companions, the believers at the time, and namely Abu Bakr and Umar, may Allah be pleased with them, over them deciding a matter without utilizing the religion as it means to do so. So they were corrected right on the spot. And what it implied is that they were overstepping the bounds in terms of the religion and its protocol. The protocol is to go to Allah and His messenger first for a decision. It says, you will have no real faith until they choose you, O Muhammad, as a judge in all of their affairs. And so when we decide matters, we go and we run that by the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We run that by the Quran.
We run it by that first. But if we don't have any exercise in that, the chances are when we are facing something, the Quran is not even on our minds. The Quran is not even on our minds. What's on our minds is what we're used to doing. And what we're used to doing may be something entirely different, even though we may see some level of morality in it. It might have some morality in it. But, you know, the bank robber who robs the bank to give some charity to the church or to give some charity to the masjid, you know, there's some morality in that because you took what you had and you gave, but you took it, you went about getting it through the wrong means. And so we can't say because there's some morality in it, at least he did that. No, Allah is not the least God and cherisher and sustainer of the worlds. See, it's not like, well, at least I owe five salats, at least I get three. You see, I have to fast the Ramadan, but at least I fasted half of the month. You see, for no reason I'm deciding to break it. You see, so Allah is not about that. Allah doesn't deserve that because when we want ours, we want all of ours. So that why is it that when we have to give him his, we don't want to give him his? Allah says, I respond to the call of every supplicant when he calls upon me, but let them at the same time respond to me, respond to my call, so that perhaps they may be able to walk in the right way. In other words, Allah is saying that when you respond to him, this is when you have the greater chance of walking in the right way, by responding to him. How do you respond to him? Well, you see what he says about the matter, and then you apply it. That's your response. Your response, dear brothers and sisters, and I'm sorry I have to tell you this, it's not Allah knows best without any application. See, when you say Allah knows best, that means that you going in there and find what Allah is saying, not Allah knows best, and I'm not going to show you what Allah says about the matter. I'm not going to observe what I have going to at least look and see what Allah says. Because if Allah knows best about the matter, then it's obvious that he has said something about that matter. You see? وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. And we have certainly sent down in this Quran for mankind possible scenario. So Allah is just addressing that. So knowledge is important for us. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, "Talimu ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslimi wa muslima." He's saying to us again, and he's warning, but he's saying to us that seeking of knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim male and female. That it's obligatory. What knowledge? Is he saying that you got to have knowledge of astrophysics, everybody? Should everybody be having knowledge of medicine? Is he saying that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying that to us. I'm sorry, Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not saying that to us. Allah is telling us through his messenger that it's religious knowledge that has to be something that we consider obligatory upon us. Because it's that knowledge that's going to get you to where you need to go. Knowledge of the worldly things is good, but everybody it's not obligatory upon everybody, because then you would have to know too many things. So he wouldn't call us to what we cannot do. You're not able to do that. Nobody's able to do that, to have knowledge of every single thing. You see, you might have a guy who's a chemist, but he knows nothing about being a mechanic. You have a guy who's an astrophysicist, but he knows nothing about how to cook a pie or bake a cake. Knows nothing about medicine, right? And then when you look at that, you say, well, you know, this is understood because everybody's not going to know this stuff. But everybody who has commissioned themselves as a Muslim, who's accepted Islam, you have to know your deen. It's important, dear brothers and sisters. May Allah help us. That we shall
need. Assalamu alaikum, host, your quality assurance team leader, Abdul Shaheed, here to remind us that our quality assurance reports are due the third Sunday of each month. We're about to complete another fantastic month of broadcasting at AM360. In our effort to continue to improve our platform, please complete and submit your personal quality assurance report by going to cwsc.us. Do a search in the search bar for SEO quality assurance review. Please read the instructions, then scroll down to complete the review. Once completed, please click the submit button at the bottom left in red. And may we all have another successful month of broadcasting at AM360. Thank you, Abdul Shaheed, Quality Assurance Team Leader. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We're back, and you're listening to my Ya Ala Kulli Hal. And I'm your host, Imam Abdul Aziz. And we're talking about, you know, some of the ways in which to circumvent the crisis that we find ourselves in as Muslims. And it's not just African-American Muslims. It's Muslims, period. I witnessed an incident earlier today at a janazah that we were given in a janazah. And make a dua for our dear brother Abdul Rahman Ali. May Allah be pleased with him. This was the oldest son of Miles Davis, the jazz musician. And we were conducting his janazah at the 96th Street Masjid. And before conducting the janazah, after bringing him into the masjid and setting up and everything, we witnessed some of our immigrant brothers really being hostile and using profanity and things like that toward one of the sisters that worked there. And so because it was very, very disrespectful, we asked them, why are you even speaking to the sister like that? And then he used profanity, and this was like mind-blowing to see that. And so, but the reality is these men obviously were men who were saddled by culture. And so they had to be reminded sternly that this is not going to be tolerated. I'm not going to be standing there and you're doing that. And I'm not going to say nothing to you. And they were quiet. They chilled out. The reality is that knowledge thing that all communities need, all Muslims need, to focus on their salat and to focus on the fara'id, the obligatory duties, to focus on the ma'lumat, or the actions, the means of approach in the religion. In order for us to have a proper social construct, we have a moral base that we are supposed to stick to that should answer those questions. But we won't be able to utilize those answers if we don't know the answers ourselves. That we don't know that we shouldn't do this to each other or that to each other, that we shouldn't act this way or that way. I witnessed an individual today as well that accosted another brother, and then he's asking the brother that he accosted and disrespected, demanding he apologize to him. And I thought that this was just so out of character. It was just so out there. And I asked him, I said, well, brother, you know, Imam Muhammad used to say, follow the logic to its logical conclusion. And I said, well, how is it that you can claim that you did something because he did something, but you and that you demand an apology from him, but yet when he tells you that what he did because of what you did, you're not accepting that as a means to justify apologizing to him yourself. When you were the one that went to him first, when you were the one that was pressing him, and he just pressed back, that's all he did. And so we look at that idea being presented, and we say, well, either you're totally ignorant or you're doing this because you have an aim. And so I'm going to take the former and say, and put the best construction on this, say it's because he's totally ignorant of the Islamic principles that we should know as a bare minimum amongst ourselves as Muslims. May Allah help us. To that we say, I mean. And so let's see what we got. Some callers here. 347, state your name and where you're calling.
About the presidential record check, I was president of probably the only person in history this country that's been indicted, okay. And my numbers went up.
718, state your name, where you're calling from. 344. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah. I'm glad you won. You know, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward you, Imam. This is Haji Lala. You gave the alhamdulillah. You gave the woman back her wallet, and you know how beautiful that is, because you know when you lose your papers, it's so hard to get your information back. The money is one thing, but the information is a whole, it's so much trouble getting it back. But that was such a blessing for you, and may Allah reward you tremendously, because you're going to be rewarded because you did a good thing. And I know people like that that will act one way but then say something else another way. So, you know, I call it two-faced, because you want to present yourself one way, but then when you behind closed doors, people are seeing you another way, and that's not a good thing at all. But as I have you on the phone, there's one particular brother talking to two sisters, and I don't know what's his intention, because he's talking to two Muslim sisters, and I don't think that's right. That's not right at all, you know. So I don't know. I just had to vent for a few minutes. I'm not understanding that situation. And perhaps maybe we can talk, and maybe you can tell me what's going on with that.
Well, what I can do is inshallah ta'ala, because we wanna be able to assist you in understanding whatever that is, to give it some level of perspective. We don't even know the magnitude or level of conversation that they're having. However, I can give you a call later, inshallah, when I'm on my way out after the show, and we can discuss that, and we can maybe have some time for that, inshallah. But I want you to know, sis, that you calling in and you being on the line, it kind of made my day, man. You this very positive spirit. Your energy, sis, is wonderful. That you, when you come in the room, when people see you, you know, they already know that you're not coming with no nonsense. You're coming with something that'll make people feel good. And so Allah is going to reward you for that, for having that kind of spirit. You know, there are people that are out there right now, say they're Muslim, but they're not happy. And they don't want people around them happy. And so what they do is they don't spread cheer, they spread other things. And they cause, you know, they cause disruptions, they cause, it's the only time that they're really interested in being involved is when there's some fitna going on. And so, and this is because of their lack of knowledge and spirit of the religion. The religion says that we should be a well-wisher for all Muslims. And so when we look at that being presented to us on a daily basis, we have to sit back and say, well, why are you even doing that, man? Why is, like today, the guy, I said, why are you guys even talking to this sister like that, man?
Mm-hmm.
I said, why are you guys even saying that to her? I don't care what you, don't try to give me some explanation as to why this sister deserves to be spoken to in front of other people like that. Disrespecting her, calling her out of the name, and you're not listening to her when her position there is, she works there, and you guys are doing your job, but yet at the same time, you brothers got a problem, man. And so they continued. So I had to tell the brother, I said, Akhi, let me tell you this, man. And, you know, I had to stretch out a little bit. I had to go back a little bit. You know, I had to take a couple of paces back and say, listen, let me see you disrespect her again and see what happens. And that's the only language they understood. That's the only thing that calmed them down. That's the only thing that chilled them out. I said, do it again, and do it again, and see what happens. And they chilled right out. They chilled right out. And so we have rights over each other. We have rights over each other, sis. And as to what you mentioned, we'll talk about it, but I will say this. The situation regarding the two that the brother's speaking to, are they aware that this is happening? Inshallah ta'ala. I was very happy to at least at a bare minimum be able to address that issue amongst those people, because they're not from here, they're from somewhere else. And so it's culture when you see the blatant disrespect. Our women really wouldn't tolerate that. They wouldn't tolerate that. They'd be able, you know, they fight back anyway. But, you know, the sister was defenseless, man. But she was surprised. She was surprised that, you know, I said something. I was wondering what that. So she's so used to that happening and nobody saying anything.
Wow.
So now that you're on the line, let's go over a couple of things real fast before you get off the line. Okay? Tomorrow's the day of Arafat, as you know. And many people, if they're able to do so, they'll spend the day fasting the day of Arafat. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says that the fasting of the day of Arafat will bring forgiveness of 2 years of sins, those in the year just gone and those in the year to come, right? Very important day tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know, you've been to Hajj already, right?
Yes, sir.
And so when you did Arafat over there, you know, people were meeting each other, you know, they were, you know, sharing information, all of that kind of stuff going on in Arafat. Then they have the talk that's on Arafat. You know, they had all of that stuff going on, right? People recognizing the good in each other. Like the Quran says, it's Lita Arafu, right? People from different places, and here Allah brings them together.
Yes.
And it says number two would be to do more than abstain from food. And this, the implication is that although I'm fasting, I'm still finding other things, another means to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do some good. So you're trying to find some good somewhere and do it along with the fast, right? And so Allah doesn't need the fasting of one of us who doesn't abstain from evil words and deeds. So in other words, if I'm fasting, then I'm not somewhere arguing with people. I'm not somewhere, you know, doing a tit for tat with somebody, or I'm doing a constant back and forth with someone. I'm not over there cussing somebody out, and I'm not watching programs that have that stuff in it. I'm not listening to music that have that stuff in it. So that defeats the purpose of the fast in and of itself. And so we are doing good because it's the right thing to do. We're doing the best we can as a means to honor the day of Arafat through the fast, but to also accumulate some more good.
Mm-hmm.
You have people that start there. Yeah, yes. And so you have people that start their day with no good on their mind. They're looking to do some evil. Imagine that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
But we're living in a country. We're living in a country right now with those kind of people. As Muslims, we are observing this, and you know, we'll watch the news and be traumatized over the news. The third thing that we should be looking at is maybe the possibility, a strong possibility of remembering Allah. Fasting is designed to increase your awareness. Don't forget to make plenty of dhikr on this particular day. If not fasting, as remembrance of Allah is a light on the tongue, but heavy on the scales. Real good. That's real good information. Four, we should give some sadaqah. Releases more people from the hellfire on the day of Arafat than any other day, according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He reminds us that giving charity is a means of avoiding calamity. So give generously. to a cause you believe in as a means of protection, purification, and reward. The last thing that would be on this list of the five is this. The Prophet ﷺ said that the best of supplication is the one made on the day of Arafat. So do not let this precious day slip away without praying for yourself, your family and loved ones, your community and the organizations and institutions you care about. This is important. This is important. And so we look at this idea being presented. We have the fast. We have the good deeds. We have the remembrance of Allah. We have charity, and then we have the dua. And so here it is. You're doing all of those things. So now you're praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicating to him, making the chances far greater for your dua to be accepted because it's preceded by all of those other acts. And so that's how we want to spend our Arafat, our day of Arafat. And one day, let's take some time out to give Allah his just due. May Allah help us that we say amen.
Amen.
Do you have any comments?
All that's good. All that's good, Imam. I intend to do just that. Inshallah. I suggest everyone who's on the line do so as well.
Well, we thank you so much, and we appreciate you. We appreciate you saying that to us. That's some good advice. We look forward to the time when we see each other again. In the meantime, inshallah, sis, we're gonna try to give you a shout on the way out so that we can discuss the other matter in which you mentioned, and then we can share. You know, we can probably next week we might even talk about. You know, what are the ramifications, what's good and what's not, whether that's okay and whether it's not, you know, the harms of it and so on and so forth, you see. And so these are the things that are current in our community but are never discussed.
Right.
They're never talked about. They're never looked into.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look at that and we understand that the human sentiment is there. And so sometimes that defines our reason. Sometimes that kind of looks at a thing and we see it one way and we don't see the way that it was intended. Or we might think that we're doing the right thing and we're doing something totally against the purpose of that being even in place. And this is for all matters in religion, not just for that situation, but for all matters. People make up all kinds of stuff. You got these guys right now that you can go to in our neighborhoods anyway. Our neighborhoods, because we don't have no stores. So you go in their stores, they're selling marijuana now, they're selling alcohol, they've been doing that. They're selling all kinds of paraphernalia to assist in the marijuana. And then they justify it by saying that they found some fic that says that you can sell that stuff for a period of time until your needs are met. Can you believe that?
No.
Oh God, this is what they're saying. How do I know that?
Yeah.
Because I knew this brother. He was a friend of mine, and he had a bunch of him and his brother had a bunch of delis in Connecticut, and this was in 2008. And I had been commissioned at a masjid over there as a brick mason with another brother that was actually a brick mason. I was just his helper. But they were paying me pretty good. But the job was over, and they came to me and they said, listen, brother, we want you to work at one of the stores, right? Then he says, well, you know, even though they have alcohol and tobacco and all this other kind of stuff, the fix is that we can sell that stuff so you can work there, brother. And I looked at him and I said, nah. I said, thanks, but no thanks, man.
That's right.
I said, thanks, but no thanks. And so, you know, the knowledge of the religion is important. It's imperative, so that we don't get ourselves caught up into these issues that make it seem like it's no over here, but it's all right over there.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and so we have to help each other also and complement the good. But also call out the stuff that's not necessarily good as a means to not beat people, but as a means to save each other. Because we're supposed to be helping each other out of that sadness. You see,
that's
right. Now, I remember when I was a kid, we used to go and boycott some of the stores. We used to call them the Iranians. I don't know if you remember that. The Iranian stores. We thought they were all from Iran somewhere, but they were from the same places that those guys that are selling stuff now from. They weren't all Iranians. But that's what we used to call the Iranians. And we go and we have our signs and all that kind of stuff because they had alcohol in there and they're supposed to be Muslim.
Yes.
Yeah. So they, you know, we went through that phase. But now, they don't even, it's not even, you know, now it's not, it's normal now.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal. Nobody has an issue with it. That's interesting how it goes from have becoming an issue. During that time, if you were utilizing that alternative lifestyle, those people had a problem in the law on the books hasn't even changed. That's still on the books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And here they are trying to impose on other people this lifestyle of choice. It's not a religion. It's a choice that you make. And so we say by right of our religion, we can't allow this or that because of our religion. This is our religious freedom. But you can't tell us this choice that you have can be imposed on those people who are practicing a legitimate religion that has been ordained by the Creator himself, who's opposed to that. But here we get ready to get off track. So I'm gonna stop right here. And I want to thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you. My sister, you are definitely an inspiration to us because your spirit, you know, your spirit embodies the Islam that we need, not the Islam that is so difficult. You make it so easy, you know, for us. That's important. And see that, and people forget that you ain't got to have a whole lot of knowledge to contribute to the lives of other people. You see, all you got to do is be sincere and make that effort. And this will weigh more heavy on the scale than any level of knowledge that someone may have. We got people that have PhDs and people that know the whole Quran, and yet they're not helping anybody with their presence.
Right.
And that's amazing. And that's one of the miracles of our association. Our association is this. The teachings, the study, the study habit of Imam Muhammad was poured into us. So now when he poured this study into us, we didn't have madrasas anywhere. We didn't have people who were mu'allims or sheikhs that were assisting us. All we had was the sincere effort and the teachings of Imam Muhammad. And if we followed what he said, we were bound to find ourselves in a position to where we can actively participate in applying the Quran and Sunnah in our lives. Now, how do you do that without all of that stuff that people usually get, right? So this higher learning doesn't necessarily have to come as a result of you having to be in an institution of higher learning. The Imam was giving us information that would be considered higher knowledge. And so it's a miracle in and of itself. When everybody else turned away from us, here we have someone from among us giving us the higher knowledge. Bless him. May you protect him in the grave and grant him proximity to the highest good. Then bless this community. And we say to that, Ameen. So thank you so much, dear sister. We have another caller. So we're going to be looking to get back in touch with you, inshallah, shortly after the program. And we'll be able to maybe address that issue that you were mentioning. May Allah bless you, bless your family, and we'll, inshallah, talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, 706. State your name. Where you calling from? Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Dear brothers and sisters, you're listening to Ma'iyya al-Kulli Hal. I'm your host, Imam Abdul Aziz, and we're broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM 360. and we're about to come to a close, and so we want to stop for station ID and share with you, dear brothers and sisters, a PSA.
Join us for Muslim American Power 5 on Mondays, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Muslim American Power 5, referred to as MAP5, featuring Sister Amatullah Sabri, Sister Cheryl Sadi, and Brother Fleming Alamein. That's Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for MAP, Muslim American Power 5.
Alhamdulillah, we're back here, brothers and sisters. You're listening to Ma'iyah al-Kulihal. I'm your host, Imam Abdulaziz. And as mentioned earlier, we are about to come to a close. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of you to have a successful day of Arafat, that your Eid is wonderful, that you celebrate it with the highest celebration. Give it its due, dear brothers and sisters. Give it its due. Share it with our children. For those of us who have grandchildren, share it with them. But even if they have not come into Islam yet, you show them the virtue of the Eid. You see, you show them the, you know, our celebration and how it is to be celebrated, even with has a greater right than all those other holidays that they throw at us. For us, the Eid is greater than the 4th of July. For us, the Eid is greater than Christmas. It's greater than New Year's. It's greater than all of that because it has these other holidays that you see. They're not holidays that were established based on the divine writ of the law. He didn't co-sign them, but he co-signed the Eid. He co-signed the Yom Jum'ah. And so this is why these dates or these holidays for us have a greater right. We only have two. You look on the calendar, the Gregorian calendar, you see that they have almost a holiday every month. And so we look at this idea being presented and we find that that's just a little too much celebrating. And when you celebrate, dear brothers and sisters, it usually comes as a result of you achieving something, right? And so me, lately, I haven't been celebratory at all because we haven't achieved the things that we need to achieve as a community. So I had to take that back and look at myself as an individual and say, well, you know, look, you do what you can, keep doing what you can. But from now on, you want to start celebrating the Eid. This is my conversation with myself. I said, you can't put all that on yourself, man, because the community is not achieving the things that it can reach its potential, and then you don't celebrate the Eid as a result of that. No, brother, celebrate the Eid because that's your holiday too. In the meantime, you make sure you put forth an effort to achieve some goals, and you set these goals and pace yourself, and ask Allah to help you. And I advise everyone to do that: set your goals and pace yourself, and ask Allah for his help. It says, whatever nothing you seek while relying on your Lord will ever be difficult, yet nothing you seek while relying on yourself will ever be easy. May Allah help us to that. We say, Ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Illa amanu wal aminu salihati wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Allahumma rabbana hab lana min azwajina وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.